Lord kind of directed my attention to this portion of Scripture. I believe, of course, praise the Lord for the preaching that we've heard thus far. And I'm looking forward to tonight, to Pastor Sargent, as he concludes there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I believe in John chapter 6, we can see some an illustration of many of the truths that Pastor Sargent has brought out and brought to our attention from 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, 9, and as well, even into chapter 10. But, almost automatically when we hear the word missions or the pastor talks about a missionary or an evangelist coming to be in the services, one of the first things that comes to our mind is money. And I understand that it takes money to get a missionary to the field and to keep them there. I sure understand that. But would to God that when the preacher says missions or we hear the word missionary, rather than thinking of money, we should think of people. Because missions equals people. These surrounding areas, it's all about people. God is in the people business. I appreciate what Pastor Sargent said this morning, that it's the very heartbeat. It ought to be the very heartbeat of the church. I've heard those say that missions is to be the right arm of a church. No. I mean, no. You can function without a right arm. You can't function without a heart. Just as the missions or people getting the gospel around the world should be the heartbeat of the church. The reason that is because it's the very heartbeat of God. God's heart has always been about people. From the Old Testament all the way to now, not just a specific group of people, but all people. It's not my intent, but we can go back and look that God has, there's a pattern throughout His Word that He always is concerned about all people. His heart is for the stranger, for the widow, the sojourner. His heart is for people. And I firmly believe as well that our attitude, and so tonight when I say missions, don't just think about foreign missions or giving, think about people. People, red and yellow, black and white, every single one of them. And so the next statement I make, when I make that, again, don't think about money, think about people. So I firmly believe that what we do for missions, our attitude, our involvement, determines what God is going to do with you as a church throughout this coming year. If we are content to stay right where we are, then God's going to be content to leave us right where we are. But if we're yielded to His leadership and beg Him for His grace to be bestowed upon Cornerstone Baptist Church, only God knows what could take place over the next year in Cornerstone Baptist Church. All right. Now in John chapter 6, nothing new tonight. We're going to key in on some of the main characters that's found here. This is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And this is the only miracle that is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. And we're going to focus in on the Gospel of John in chapter number 6. I might make reference. I don't know if we'll turn there or not, but Mark's Gospel, there's a phrase that Jesus uses towards the end of Mark chapter 6, where Jesus tells them that there's a danger of their hearts becoming hard if they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And so just for next little bit, before we get to the main course, I want to consider, with the help of God, this miracle of the loaves. All right, I'm going to read to you the first 14 verses. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. In the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. All right. They saw, they witnessed an undeniable miracle of God. There was a need. That need was met. God met that need. He met it through his disciples. And those around were astonished, but because they saw the work of God take place right before their eyes. Let's have prayer and we'll get right to work. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your blessings. Thank you for, again, this church and their heart for you, God, because that's reflected in their heart for a lost and dying world. And I pray you'd help us now for the next little bit. Just pay attention on purpose. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. You'd use the Word of God to minister to hearts and to challenge us, to change us, to conform us to your image. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, we don't need a whole lot of background. We see what was taking place in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and all throughout that ministry, he was constantly dealing with people. I heard one preacher said, I'm just not a people person. I thought, well, man, you just need to get over that, because being called into the ministry or being doing the work of God is all about people. It's about reaching people with the gospel. But Jesus, it said throughout the Word of God multiple times that he rarely had any time to rest. People would be pressing upon him. Matter of fact, in Mark's gospel, we learn that this was a time of rest that he sought for him and his disciples. But as was usually the case, the multitude would follow him. And even though he was tired and weary, he would minister to these that followed him. And the Bible says that in this instance, he went away and his disciples came to him. And he sought opportunity to teach them. Of course, he's going to perform a miracle, but he's going to teach those disciples then and those disciples now, namely you and I, a lesson, some lessons about giving. And the amazing thing is that this lesson, the main part of this lesson, was going to come from a little lad that just had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And once again, we see God doing the amazing, the unbelievable with things that are insignificant. That there's no denying that the glory that is due in this instance all goes to God. There's no way to humanly explain what takes place. As Pastor Sargent has mentioned multiple times, when it comes to giving by faith, there's no way to put it together in our minds. It's God. And that we see this as well here in this portion of Scripture. And so he is sitting there with his disciples. Remind you, those that had been with him for a multitude of time, they had seen miracles already. This is not like this is the first miracle. They had seen God do, they'd seen Christ do some work already. And so he turns to his disciples, and specifically Philip, and he says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now we read in verse number 6, Jesus knew the answer. It tells us that he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, but he wanted Philip to answer about what he thought could be done in this situation. And matter of fact, we could say it like this, the answer was asking the question. It's as if Jesus was wanting Philip to say, God, I have no idea, but you're here and you can do the impossible. You can do the amazing. You're the answer. But that's not what happens. Philip doesn't do that. Philip don't see a way. He doesn't see a way. And we'll look more in detail on that in a little bit. But then Andrew comes along and he brings this little lad. And Andrew offers this as his answer. But his answer was like this. He brought this little lad. And he said, he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but he makes this. He says, but what are they among so many? And so he has doubt about what could be done. And so the Bible goes on, and again we'll go back and kind of hit the highlights of these individual characters and spend a little extra time maybe upon the lad. But as we went through the portion of Scripture, Jesus had him sit down, and he takes those, what the little lad had brought, the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, he blesses it, and then he proceeds to give them to the disciples. And the disciples go and they distribute it to the multitude. And the Bible says when it was all said and done that they were all filled and there were 12 baskets full of fragments. And again, we say, how in the world did that take place? What a miracle. And have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought how that happened? I mean, again, you have the fish and you have the bread. As he ripped some off to give to one of the disciples, did it just go boop and appear right there? Or did he finish the loaves and then boom, there they were? You know what? I don't know. And you know what? I don't care. It doesn't bother me because God is the one that did the miracle. And that's exactly what he'll do in our lives as well. Now, let's go back and just kind of hit these characters a little bit. And the first character, and rightly so, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there. He is on the scene, no doubt about it. Matter of fact, things would have ended a lot differently if Christ would have not been on the scene. In verse number 1 and also verse number 5, we see that Christ is there and at work. And if he wouldn't have been involved, there wouldn't have been a miracle. Matter of fact, the disciples would have looked very silly if they would have had all these people sit down. The Bible says that there were 5,000 men, and so it doesn't mention women and children. And so you could assume maybe we could say for just to be on the safe side, maybe 10,000 people. All right, but it could have been upwards of 15,000. Who knows? Wouldn't the disciples have looked silly if Christ wouldn't have been there and they had them sit down and then they began to distribute this and they would have ran out right here. Right before they got started all the way down, and they would have never been able to meet the need if Christ would have not been upon the scene. But because he was there, there was the miracle of multiplication. We talked about that already. Because Christ was on the scene, as the bread was distributed and the fish was distributed, it was multiplied right there before their eyes. And again, it doesn't matter if it grew after they tore it or if it was all gone and then it appeared again. It does not matter. The point is it was a miracle. We can't describe how it happened. And just because we can't put it together in our little finite minds doesn't make it any less true. Christ was there and he was involved and he multiplied that bread and fish to meet the need of that multitude. And we're just responsible for delivering the bread. God is the one responsible for multiplying the bread. He's the one responsible to multiply it. We're just to deliver it to meet the need of this world. And we no doubt have plenty of bread, the Word of God, to pass out to a lost and dying world. And that's exactly what this world needs, is the bread of God, the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was on the scene, there was the miracle of multiplication. There was also the miracle of organization. All right? Can you imagine, right? 12 men, 2 fish, 5 barley loaves, and 10,000-15,000 people. How in the world would you organize something like that? By a simple command. It's not like they had weeks and weeks and weeks to plan for this. Jesus said, make them sit down in rows and feed them. And mind you, they were Baptist men, all right? I didn't notice anything here, but sometimes it's hard to get the ushers to go down the right row, right? I mean, can you imagine what I'm trying to say is the miracle of how it was put together. There's no way to describe it outside the fact that God did it, that he organized it, he multiplied it. God is the one that did it. Again, they didn't have weeks to plan. Jesus just said, sit down in rows and feed them. And no doubt we have, right here tonight, we have the ability to be a part of the miracle of God. You understand? I believe you do. That reaching the world with the gospel is a miracle within itself. It is. It's a miracle. And while there might be better ways to do it, there might be this way and that way, and men try to organize and they try to, well, you got to do it through this fellowship and this and that and all of these things. It is nothing less than a miracle that anything is getting done. And the reason it's getting done is because God is behind the preaching of the gospel and doing it His way. And we have the ability to be a part of this miracle. And that's why Jesus reminded them in the Gospel of Mark to consider the miracle of the loaves. Jesus was about His Father's business. And we know what His Father's business, the heart of God, is the salvation of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we see Him lifting up His eyes and looking on the multitude, not just a few, but a great multitude. And we see His compassion, His desire that they might be reached, that their need might be met. And He wanted them. Did you read that? Did you notice when I, as I was reading there, the Bible says in verse number 2, and a great multitude followed Him. Notice this though, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. As Jesus looked down upon this multitude that was coming to Him, His desire was that they would follow Him, not for what He could do for their circumstance, but what He can do for their soul. I mean, there's no doubt that a physical need was met. But the bigger picture that we see here is that this miracle was accomplished not only to teach the disciples a lesson about giving, and we'll get to that a little more in detail in a moment, but also He was setting the account, if you will. He was preparing their hearts with this miracle, because a little bit later in John chapter 6, He would declare Himself as the bread of life. He said, listen, this is a physical need, and we can maybe get a little example here, some illustration. But what your real need is a need of the soul, a spiritual need. And I am the bread of life that can meet that need. Again, He wanted them, and He wants people today to follow Him, not because He can change our circumstance, but He changes our eternity. Many times now, God allows circumstance sometimes to come in people's life, whether it be health or whether it be financial or family trouble. Listen, we don't get saved to remedy those problems. I mean, that's not the motivation that we get saved. We get saved. Now, can God straighten out circumstances of life? Oh, yeah. Can He help us with family problems and financial problems? Yo, yes, but that's not the reason we get saved. We get saved because we recognize, hey, I'm lost. I have a need. I'm without Christ. And a person can go from being dead in trespasses and sins to having eternal life. And only Christ can do that. And as I said, Jesus was fixing to perform a miracle in verses 31. We won't read it tonight for time's sake. But from verse 31 all the way down through verse number 35 in John chapter 6, He declares Himself as the bread of life that's come down from heaven. And so Jesus wanted His disciples to learn also. He wanted them, and He wants you and I, as we draw application to this missions conference, to this need that's before us. He wants us to see the need to feed the multitude. Not only see the need, but then what's our part going to be in meeting that need? He wants His children today to be busy passing out the bread. We have the bread of life. We have the Word of God. And He wants us to be busy passing that out. And He wanted them to see the multitude as He did. Lost, without hope, and without a relationship. You understand? I believe we do tonight. I know who I'm preaching to, the church I'm preaching to. We understand that when God looks down, there are only two types of people. There are those that have a relationship with Him and those that don't. That's how God sees Him. And those that don't, His desire is that they would come to Him and recognize Him as their personal Savior. And He wants you and I to be busy seeking to remedy that need by giving them the Word of God. Now, this multitude that we've talked about, we'll just kind of lump them in as another character. We've already talked a little bit about the number. The Bible says that they were wondering. They were empty both physically and, as we've noted, spiritually, and Jesus sought to meet both of those needs, physical as well as spiritual. And even today, We have a world that is searching. We have a world that is seeking, and they're looking for something. This lost world tries to fill this void in their life with drugs and alcohol and money and careers and relationships and any number of things. But we that know the Savior, know that the only thing that truly satisfies is a relationship with Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The one that, listen, satisfies that inner need within us that, listen, will never hunger anymore. We that know the Savior, and His desire is this multitude would know that as well. And so out of these first two characters, out of the Savior and this multitude, we've got to simply see the demand. The demand of Christ upon you and I, as Brother Pittman preached in Sunday school this morning about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the command, the plea, the power there for you and I to be witnesses. And so as we look at this account, we need to see the demand of Christ upon you and I to be witnesses for Him, to represent Him, to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the demand of the lost multitude that are wandering around searching for what we got, what you and I got. Listen tonight, let me just challenge you with this. Think right now. Think about the person that took interest in you. Everyone in here either had a preacher, had a mother, had a father, had a Sunday school teacher, or a neighbor, or a co-worker. Somebody took interest in you and shared the gospel with you. And therefore we should do that as well. But then we come to the disciples and Philip and Andrew, their response. And we'll kind of take application, because sometimes this is our attitude as well when it comes to this matter of my part in reaching the world. And it's not just a money thing. But before we do, I keep referencing, maybe we should go back there, but for time's sake we won't. I'll just challenge you as well to go back to the Gospel of Mark and read as well. But before we read about and speak a little bit about Philip and Andrew's response, in Mark's gospel, the first overall response was send them away. When Jesus said there's a multitude that needs to be fed, the overall response was they got houses, let them go home and feed themselves. It's almost as if, send them home and let them provide for themselves. And we got to be very careful to guard our hearts from becoming cold towards the need of the world. I mean, there's a abundance of wickedness and just moral debauchery all about us. And we got to guard our hearts in regards to that, lest our hearts become hard towards those that really, literally need the Savior. Let me just encourage you, likely the greatest way to keep a soft heart towards the lost is talk to them. You might say, well, I can't physically go out door knocking. Well, just talk to them at the grocery store. Talk to them when you have opportunity and just listen to what they're trusting in. Talk to them about what's your basis. A good number of people, you say you're going to go to heaven when you die. Oh, yeah. Well, what do you base that on? And then you begin to listen to the response. That'll keep our hearts soft, because people are trusting any number of things to get them to heaven. In John chapter 6 and verses 5 to 7, we're not going to go back and read it, but Philip's response, his question was right directly towards Philip. And again, remember, Philip for sure, in John chapter 1 and verse 44, he'd been with Christ from the beginning. He'd seen the power of God, but for whatever reason, he responded in doubt and disbelief rather than in confidence in the powerful Christ that was right here before him. Philip no doubt recognized the need, but he was unsure of what to do about it. And he tried to deal with it in human terms. He tried to put some figures to it. He said, okay, all right, okay, Jesus, I see this need coming. And so Philip begins to kind of jot some things down. And the Bible says, or basically, that he put some figures to it. And he said, he literally gave some figures of what equated to about 200 days wages of a working man in that day, which was a considerable amount of money. But he says, even if we had that much, that still wouldn't be enough. And when it comes to the giving, it's easy for us to look at numbers and say we can't. When we look at the world population, we see some 8 billion people in the world, and the need is great, 90% of which are lost. That's a great need. And you say, how in the world do we reach all of these people? How can we do it? We have a church of 250, 300 people. How can we do that? We try to put things down. Listen, it's not, the answer is not found in putting figures down. Again, we're not looking at the overwhelming numbers, but we're looking at God. And we're seeking to do what God would have us to do. The way in which He orchestrated you and I to do it. And so we need to stop worrying about what we don't have and what we can't do. And start thinking about what we do have and what we can do. Because every one of us can do something. When it comes to missions, there should be 100% participation. All of us can be involved somehow. All of us can carry a gospel tract and hand it out at the gas station, the grocery store. All of us can give something. It's not a matter of an amount. It's a matter of our heart. It's a matter about getting a hold of the heart of God and recognizing His heart is for people. Therefore, our heart should be as well. The problem with Philip is that Philip was looking for supply for this need in an ordinary way, all the while talking to someone who was extraordinary. He was talking to the answer. Jesus wanted Philip to say, Lord, if you will, you can feed them all. Lord, whatever your plan is, that's what I'm going to involve myself in, that these may eat. And we know tonight that the Lord has given you and I a plan that we might reach this world. I mean, I know there's a bunch of people. I know there's 8 billion people, but God has given us a plan. It's called the church. It's called the church. The church is the vehicle that God has chosen to take the gospel around the world. And so we should serve Him and give to His work through the church to meet the need of the world. Then there's Andrew. We find him bringing this little lad. But also before that, though, we have some, conversation that takes place, and we could maybe preach some message, and likely so, or rightly so, about Andrew and his heart for people. And I don't know how it happened, if Andrew went and found him or this lad. I like to maybe think that this lad saw what was taking place and brought what he had and got a hold of Andrew. And I believe that would maybe be more in line just because of the disciples, because of their response. Andrew's was, well, here's this, but what is this among so many? I mean, this is so little compared to the need. Some things worth mentioning is that Philip's information was given in response to a question. Andrew's was voluntary. Philip produced figures to show what couldn't be done. Andrew brought some food hoping something might be done. Philip was sure of what couldn't be done. He had no vision for what could be done, only what couldn't. Andrew thought something could be done, but his vision was limited because he said, again, what are they among so many? And what I want to keep emphasizing again is these are the disciples. They literally walked and talked with Jesus Christ. They knew Him. They've seen His power literally. Yet in this situation, they failed to see what He could do through them as they were yielded to His plan and purpose. And then we come to this little lad. Don't know his name. Matter of fact, 3 out of the 4 Gospels don't even mention a lad. So and you know what? It doesn't matter what his name was. That's not important anyway. All we know about this boy was that he was a lad and he had 5 barley loaves and he had 2 fish. But we also know this, that he was at this point by God's grace. For God's grace. He was here. It wasn't by accident. We could say, and rightly so, that he was here for such a time as this. God had put this together. God had put him in this place to be used. And I believe that God knows who's a part of Cornerstone Baptist Church here tonight. He knows who is here. And I believe He's raised up this church to be a lighthouse of the gospel of Christ. But specifically, this group for this time. And the question is will you avail yourself and say, yes, God, I'm going to yield myself to what You would have me to do. I know what God, You know what You're getting. I know what You're getting and You know what You're getting. I'm going to avail myself and literally lay myself upon the altar and say, God, use me in whatever, because life, we can learn a lot about who He was. He knew enough of Christ to know that He was the only one that could meet this need. He saw that the multitude needed some feet, needed some food, some sustenance, and he gave what he had to Jesus. He displayed childlike faith. He simply believed God. He gave sacrificially. He gave all he had. You know, I've heard it said, and I'm not going to, you know, go to blows with anybody about this whatsoever, but I've heard it said that this was a little lad's lunch. If that's the case, that's a weird lunch. That's a weird lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, likely what it was maybe in the morning. I don't know this, but again, based on how much, and also based on the nature of boys, I mean, this was late in the day. He'd already ate that lunch, all right? Matter of fact, I don't get to hunt too much, but I remember growing up with going hunting with my dad and my brother, and we'd always take a sack lunch. I'd eat that thing by 8 o'clock, because it'd be gone. We'd be cold and go back to the truck and eat that lunch. And so, that's the nature of boys, but that's neither here nor there. But likely, his mama gave him some money in the morning and said, go down to the grocery store, down to the market and get some groceries for the week. Likely this was not a lunch for him, but rather a provision for his family, likely for the week. And he got it and then gave it all away. But understand this, as we see proven true once again in this portion of Scripture, you can't outgive God. Now, can you imagine when the boy went home? And again, I don't know this to be the case, all right? I'm not preaching extra biblical, but just to understand that, you know, when the boy went home and the mama said, all right, where's the groceries? And he said, well, I gave him, Jesus was down there and he was teaching his disciples and there was a multitude that needed some food and no one had any food. His disciples didn't know what to do. So I said, listen, I got some groceries here. You can have those. And mama, he took them and blessed them and multiplied them. And he fed all those people. And, you know, the mama's thinking, what? Wait a second. What are we going to do? Lo and behold, behind him. Now, again, this is not in the Scripture, but I don't believe there's no mistake that there was 12 baskets full that were left over. And again, we'll find out when we get to heaven. But I believe those 12 baskets was for every one of those apostles to carry behind that lad on the way home. Because you cannot outgive God. This lad gave it all. Now, am I saying that we're to give everything we have? Not saying that. I'm just saying the principle here is as we get a hold of God and with childlike faith we give sacrificially, we cannot outgive God. Regardless, though, there's application to you and I as well. Because that's where we need to get to, right? Because there's a need before us. And still today, Jesus is asking right now. Not just right now, throughout this week, the challenging messages we've heard, the testimony by Brother Andy there last evening. Still, through all of that, Jesus is asking His disciples, you and I, the question. How shall we provide that these may eat? What are you talking about? How shall we provide that these in Wildwood and the surrounding areas in St. Louis County and Chile and Washington and Fiji and Australia, how shall we provide that these may eat? May eat what? May eat the bread of life. How shall we provide that this multitude will be saved? And so the question then, or the answers then, the responses then could go something like this. Will our response be like Philip's? Lord, I see the need. I mean, I see the need, but I can't do anything about it. Can't or won't? Can't or won't? God, I've added up my budget and there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it for missions. There's nothing in it to reach this world with the gospel. I can't afford to give to missions. I don't have enough time to visit. I don't have the ability to carry tracts. I mean, the preacher said it well the other evening that there's always time to do that. We always have enough money to get what we want, and we always have enough time to do what we want to do. It's a matter of the heart. This is like saying, I'm glad I'm saved, but I'm not going to do anything for those that are not. I could care less about anybody else. That's Philip's response. Will it be like Andrew's? Lord, I see the need. I'm trying. But I can't give much, and what good is a little when the need is so great? And we have a song in our hymn books and likely have sung it many, many times, little as much, when God is in it. And in giving to missions, it's not the amount as much as our attitude in giving. You know, all through the years of pastoring and challenging in regards to giving and specifically giving to missions, I would always challenge our folks not to give one penny more than God would have us either, because it's not a pull a number out of the air and just shoot it out there. It's a spiritual matter. It's a matter of the heart between us individually and God. It's not a competition between anyone and this way and that way. It's a matter between us and God. And we shouldn't give one penny more than God would have us to. But here's the point. They would say, amen, that's right. But then I'd always say this, we shouldn't give one penny less. Now, we should give exactly what God once. And hopefully our response will be as this lad, Lord, here's what I got and you can use it. Here's what I got. He simply offered what he had to the Lord. And you know, the greatest need this evening is for God's people for you and I as God's people just to offer our life to the Lord for his use. God hears, as I said already, he knows what he's getting and he knows how to use us. And he wants us just to yield ourselves to him and say, God, here I am. You know what you're getting. God, I want to yield myself to you. I want to, in my daily life, in my prayer life, in my giving, I want to yield myself to you for your use. And when our life is given to Christ, again, those other things, the money part of it, will not be a problem. Because you know what will happen? You know what will happen? And we'll just kind of wrap it up here. When someone offers their life to Christ, just like that little lad offered his barley loaves and fish, when someone offers their life to Christ, he will take it, he will bless it, and he will use it. That's exactly what he will do in our lives. And so the question then is, have you ever given your life to Christ? First and foremost in salvation, has there been a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior? If not, I know this is a mission conference. I know it's a Sunday night. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, seek out this pastor and get that matter nailed down. But also, have you yielded your life in service? Salvation is once only. But yielding our life to Him in service and in submission, it's not once only. It's continually. Because we yield our life, and then if you're like me, we'll take some areas back. And so we need to continually be yielded. You know, there's several things in Australia that are different. There's a lot of similarities, but you know, one of the things is I like the yield sign. Of course, it's upside. It's instead of yield, it says give way, give way. I mean, it means the same thing, yield, give way. And we need to continually be yielded to God or give way. Say, God, I don't want to be the driver. You know, you see that little bumper sticker thing that says, God is my co-pilot. Oh, no, we don't want God in the as a co-pilot. We want God driving this thing. Yielded to Him. Every day of our life, He knows who we are and what He's getting, and He desires to use it for His glory. And so here it is, and I'm done. I pray and hope that we saw tonight, when it comes to involving ourselves in missions, we must see the demand. See the demand. Get over the doubt that Christ can use us, because He can use and desires to use every last person in the sound of my voice. Old Pastor Gray would say this. He would breathe in and breathe out like this. Whew, that's God's free air. As long as we're breathing, God has a desire to use us. There's a plan and purpose for your life, and it's to bring honor and glory to God. And so get over the doubt that Christ can use us. Perform the duty. Get in. Get involved in the giving and the going, and then see the delight. The delight of being used and the delight of seeing others won to Christ. There's likely nothing better outside of your own personal salvation than seeing somebody else bow their knee and trust Christ as their Savior. So tonight, listen, consider the loaves. Consider the miracle of the loaves, lest your heart becomes hard. And there's also a miracle when it comes to missions. The miracle of the loaves. God's desire is to take this church, to bless this church, and to use this church to reach the world. No doubt about it. Pastor.